Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Om Vishnu Padme Hum Zabhava Jikacharya Asta Dasa Tasushi Shmad Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees Gaya Brahmani Hari 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 Bo Namo Vishnu Krishna Vrlisham Tamasam Bhagavad Vrlisham Tamasam Bhagavad Vrlisham Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate We're at text 25 on the board. 24 is on the board. We read that one yesterday, but we can do it again. Yet Tasmat? Okay. He read that one yesterday. But that's okay. It's all right. Yeah. 25. Maharaj read this one yesterday, but that's okay. We can just reread it. I don't know. It's up to you, whatever you decide, but maybe not everybody has phones. As you wish. Okay, so we're on 25. Vidyante Bhukta Purvani Falani Sarabini Cha Esha Vai Surabir Gando Vasuchino Vagriyate Vidyante Bhukta Purvani Falani Surabini Cha Esha Vai Surabhir Gando Vasuchino Vyagriyate Vidyante Bhukta Purvani Rani Surabini Cha Esha Vai Surabhir Gando Vasuchino Vagriyate Vidyante Bhukta Purvani Falani Surabini Cha Esha Vai Surabhir Gando Vasuchino Vagriyate Nityante Bhukta Purvani Falani Surabhini Cha Esavai Surabhya Gando Visuchi Navagriyate Majis Vidyante are present. Abhukta Purvani, never before tasted. Phalani, fruits. Surabhini, fragrant. Cha, and. Esha, this. Vai, indeed. Surabhi, fragrant. Ganda, aroma. Visuchina, spreading everywhere. Avagriyate, is perceived. Translation. In the Tala forest are sweet-smelling fruits no one has ever tasted. Indeed, even now we can smell the fragrance of the Tala fruits spreading all about. Please repeat. In the Tala forest are sweet-smelling fruits no one has ever tasted. Indeed, even now we can smell the fragrance of the Tala fruits spreading all about. According to Srila Sridhara Swami, the sweet fragrance of the Tala fruits was carried by an easterly wind, which is conducive to rain in the Vrindavan area. This easterly wind generally blows in the month of Bhadra and thus indicates the excellent ripeness of the fruits, while the fact that the boys could smell them indicates the nearness of the Tala forest. Next verse I was asked to read as well. Priyachatani na Krishna ganda lobita chetasham vanchasti mahati rama gamyatam yadi vachate. O Krishna, please get those fruits for us. Our minds are so attracted by their aroma. Dear Balaram, our desire to have those fruits is very great. If you think it's a good idea, let's go to that Tala forest. Purport. Although neither man, nor bird, nor beast could even approach the Tala forest, the cowherd boys had so much faith in Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram that they took it for granted the two lords could effortlessly kill the sinful ass demons and acquire the delicious Tala fruits. Lord Krishna's cowherd boyfriends are exalted self-realized souls who would not ordinarily become greedy for sweet fruits. In fact, they are simply joking with the Lord and enthusing his pastimes, urging him to perform unprecedented heroic feats in the Tala forest. Innumerable demons disturbed the sublime atmosphere of Vrindavan during Lord Krishna's presence there, and the Lord would kill such demons as a popular daily event. Since Lord Krishna had already killed many demons on this particular day, he decided to give first honors to Lord Balaram, who had demolished the first demon, Dhenuka. By the words Yadi Rochate, the cowherd boys indicate that Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram need not kill the demon simply to satisfy them. Rather, they should do so only if the lords themselves found the concept appealing. Om Yanti Manandasya Janjana Shalaga Chakshun Militam Yama Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Upagaramayam Dadati Svabarantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Translations repeated. In the tall forest are sweet smelling fruits no one has ever tasted. Indeed, even now we can smell the fragrance of the tall fruits spreading all about. O Krishna, please get those fruits for us. Our minds are so attracted by their aroma. Dear Balaram, our desire to have those fruits is very great. If you think it's a good idea, let's go to that Tala forest. So, Prabhupada's making the comment, I mean, that these cowherd boys, you can imagine associating with Krishna every day. Krishna goes out with the cows, you know, in the morning. It's described when Krishna goes out in the morning to curd the cows, that people are there are like statues. They watch his every last bit you can see him, and then they just are like statues, you know, waiting for his return. Just like, you know, completely, everybody in Vrindavan is completely focused on Krishna. Spontaneous pure love. We have no idea. Well, maybe some of you have some idea. But these are amazing beings. They're not ordinary people. It's described in the Krishna book, they perform, I don't know, millions of pious activities. And these pious activities, as Bhaktivinoda describes, are not like mundane pious activities. Like, I don't know, you want to give a donation to the homeless shelter. Not that kind of pious activities. As bhakti, nothing material, no material activity can activate bhakti. Bhakti is independent. You can't control bhakti. You can't control bhakti. It's not like you can just force Krishna to make sure you have devotional service. It's actually a gift from Krishna. Krishna is independent. We are dependent. Krishna is independent. So, these pious activities that are described, I believe in the Krishna book, Prabhupada mentioning, that these are like incredible, God knows how many mountains full of devotional service on some level. You know. So, and they get to associate with Krishna. So Krishna is fair. You know, as we advance in Krishna consciousness, you know, Krishna reciprocates accordingly, right? So as we advance, we get more realization of Krishna. And this is something that we can also experience. It's not something so far out that you can't, you know, in your next lifetime, be in the pastimes of Krishna. In fact, Prabhupada says that if we do our devotional service nicely, then in our next lifetime, we get born in a gopi's body, somewhere in one of the material universes. What? Do I need more water?
Thank you. Thank you, O Master, for instructing me. There's enough in there.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. But thank you for being tuned in with a super soul in my heart, telling me I need water where I can't hear the super soul so well. Really. So, so the pastimes, where was I just on that? Yeah, so in your next lifetime, if you do your devotional service nicely here, then you take birth in a gopi's body in the material universe somewhere where the gopi trains you up. And it's where Krishna's having his pastimes. So you actually enter into Krishna's pastimes on some level. This is what Prabhupada writes.
confirmed by previous acharyas, or Prabhupada confirms what the previous acharyas are saying. And it's not like, oh, God, again, the material world. No, you actually, your consciousness is so purified that you don't have material consciousness. You know, it's just a spiritual experience right from day one or whatever, previous to day one. So this is our future if we apply Krishna consciousness correctly. And as we know, anybody know that verse? If you make one of the 10 offenses, if you continuously make the one of the 10 offenses, just one of the 10 offenses, you won't be delivered from millions of births. You can be chanting quote unquote Hare Krishna and doing all these things, but if you're making one of those offenses, for millions of births, you'll still be in the material world with material consciousness. So the process is simple. The process is, you know, begins with the tongue. We chant the holy name of the Lord, and we honor Krishna Prasadam. And from doing this, we get to realize Krishna as Krishna really is. Krishna reveals himself to us gradually. And of course, as Maharaj was pointing out yesterday, that Balaram represents, you know, is the guru. He's the guru. And so Nityananda, you know, not different from Balaram. And Dhenuka represents ignorance. So here, the guru, Balaram, is killing the ignorance. You know, with your own strength, what can you do? As you please, guru, Krishna is pleased, right? We chant that every morning. Yes, yeah, prasada, bhagava, prasada. So the guru is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. So if we want the mercy of Krishna, we don't leapfrog guru. I'm guru. I mean, you have all kinds of people that even have distributed 30,000 books, and then they have posted on their Facebook, I've become guru. I am guru. We're all guru. Yeah, it's like, you know, like I felt nice person fell away and has these misconceptions. So it's incredible that, I mean, it's incredibly important, imperative, that we understand the process. The process is not difficult. We go, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. We hear those syllables and we avoid these 10 offenses. But also it's described that we must have a strong understanding of the tattva, of the siddhanta, of the understanding, so that we don't get these weird ideas, right? Without knowledge, without light, what happens is people think that they're God, or they think that they're material nature, or they think God is material nature. All right? So sambandha, abhideya, prayojana, you know, this basic siddhanta tattva is, you know, when we have light, real knowledge, and we take time to read these books, we realize, I am not this body. I am not material nature. It's a different energy. And I'm not the super soul. I'm not the super soul either. The super soul is in every body and knows exactly what's going on in your body. I don't know what's going on in your body. I might know a little bit about what's going on in my body, but I don't know. But super soul knows both. And we're not pantheists. God is not material nature. he calls it one of his energies, but he's independent of the material dimension. So by studying this, having a strong understanding of the Siddhanta, chanting these syllables, Hare Krishna, no, Hare. You heard that story of like you chant, but that's actually the name of a big Rakshasa demon.
Did you know? So the time of death, if you call that person, it'll devour you at the time of death. No, I'm just kidding. I've heard that. It's a funny story. But anyways, we don't call Hare Krishna. The process works. All the acharyas say this is it. We see the people that actually apply this, and as we apply it, we do get a result. And if we think, how will I be able, how can I keep this up for 16 rounds? I got to start slurring it and skipping syllables. We should remember, I need time to cultivate my material desires is really what we're saying. Because the goal is chanting Hare Krishna. It's the means to the goal, and it's the goal. So just remembering that when you're tired, oh, this is the goal of life. Let me see if I can attain the goal of life. Hare Krishna. We have to hear it. Not in our mind. We're not that advanced. We have to hear these syllables. And we have to avoid the 10 offenses. We avoid the 10 offenses. You know, everybody knows the 10 offenses. And it's described that your seva aparads are not as important as the 10 offenses to avoid. But we still want to avoid them. For example, bowing down on one hand is an aparad. We want to bow on both hands, touching the floor. So there's a sample. So if you perform a seva aparad here and there, it's not the end of the world. Like if you can never be delivered in 10 million births, if you offend, you know, the holy name, make one of these 10 offenses of the holy name, and continue to do that, then you'll never be delivered. But if you perform a seva aparad with the thought that I don't need to correct this, then it becomes a nam aparad, and you'll never be delivered. So this is like the process as given by, I think it's in the Harinam Chintamani, and at least one other one is described very detailed. So this process works, but we have to apply it. And what gets in the way is, can get in the way, doesn't have to get in the way, is this ignorance. You know, this wave, you're chanting Hare Krishna, and all of a sudden you feel this wave. You ever feel it? Like all of a sudden this, or maybe we're just, you know, like, you're surfing, and you mess up, and the wave just pummels you, right? You just get pummeled. So that's like the wave of ignorance. I'm using the analogy, you know. Maybe we're always being pummeled, but then we have to think about what I'm about to say then. Or if we feel like this wave's just, oh God, I'm going to get pummeled, and the mode of ignorance just, you know, I have to go now, and I don't know, just we lose our sight of Krishna. So if we chant, if we apply this process properly, that wave won't influence us. It won't. And what is that process? The process is simply Balaram is killing Dainuka. The coward boys are not killing Dainuka, right? They're not killing Dainuka. They're going, oh Krishna, Balaram, could you please go and slaughter these guys so we can have these fruits? They don't want the fruits. They're so exalted. They're in a spontaneous platform. They're just trying to enthuse Krishna in his pastimes. They're not like how we might be, you know, hey, temple president, can you go get those blueberries instead of those other things? You know, come on. You can do it. We're not on maybe on that total platform. But they are. And they're asking Krishna and Balaram to kill these demons. So Guru is by the power of, by pleasing Guru, Krishna gives us the mercy to ward off this ignorance, to keep it at bay, to not let it influence us. And here in the temple, it's a nice environment to practice this. And then we should get good at it. And then when we go out carrying out the instruction of the Guru, then it can remain that way. It can remain warded off so where it doesn't influence you. In other words, you can surf your way back home to Godhead and not crash. So this is the process. We have to be following where spiritual life only is. It's nowhere else.
putting some big beads around your neck, making your seeker so cool, learning the drum so awesome, and doesn't necessarily make you a devotee, but as Krishna says, claim to be my devotee, you're not my devotee, but if you are a devotee of my devotee, then you're my devotee. So we must be a devotee of Guru. We must. You can't have a spiritual life without that. So that's the process of killing the demon, ignorance, is serving Guru, being a devotee. It's one thing, you know, I remember reading somewhere in Bhagavad Gita that says that Krishna is giving this knowledge to Arjuna because he is his friend and devotee. So he uses both those words. It's interesting, friend and devotee. And you can be kind of like devoted but harbor all this crap. But a friend doesn't really harbor anything. All right, I'll serve you then, devoted to you. You know, but that's not what a friend would do, right? I mean, this is one example. A friend would be like caring about that person, right? And really going out of the way to do special things for that person. So a friend, I mean, this is one little sample. A friend and devotee. So we should be, of course, our gurus are our best friends. You know, Krishna is the dearmost friend. And Madhyama Adhikaris are friends as well. You know, Kanista Adhikaris are sometimes friends and sometimes not. And the gross materialists are pretty much never our friends. So being a friend and devotee. Then, really devoted, as it's described, one should have this desire to serve the Guru, even if you don't make it back home to Godhead. It's like your own liberation you shouldn't care about as primary. Primary thing would be just pleasing Guru. And by doing that, one is on the liberated platform. As opposed to, well, I can't do what Guru's telling me to do. I'm going to lose my edge when I chant Hare Krishna, man, I get so good. And I'm going to lose my little edge to where I'm totally nicely connected. You know, like that's an example of that's not the right understanding. By actually sacrificing, like the devotees in Russia, Prabhupada asked them to preach there. They went there and they said, wrote back, Prabhupada, oh, this is just the meat to eat. You know, how do we go about this? And Prabhupada says, well, I guess just eat the meat, you know. And they're like, well, what about our consciousness? And Prabhupada's response was, damn your consciousness, preach. So there's a nice example of how we should be just interested in pleasing Guru and not our own elevation. Our own elevation, if we really think about it, it's motivated by subtle sex desire. You know, we're trying to enjoy, trying to get something out of this, as opposed to giving to Krishna, giving to Guru. We're trying to get something. We have an ulterior motive. So this has to be weeded out. And how does this get weeded out? Prabhupada's gurus describe that the process of weeding it out is serving Guru. And Guru is going to ask you to engage in Sankirtan on some level. This is the whole Sankirtan mission. It's like a river from the transcendental world flowing down. And if we fully surrender, then it's such a wonderful river that our material desires get like seeds, they rot in the flood of this river of Sankirtan. Because you get a higher high, or another analogy I just read, that in the ocean, the river's flowing to the ocean, and these are like a river of material desires flowing to the ocean of bhakti, and when you get close to the river, or the ocean, the waves of the ocean can cause the river to go backwards, even. So, similarly, our material desires can be inoculated by this flood of love of God coming from Lord Chaitanya, this ocean of Sankirtan movement. So much so is this important that Prabhupada writes later in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the purports, that if we don't take advantage of this Krishna consciousness movement, we will go to hell. Because this is Kali Yuga. And that's how things do go in Kali Yuga. Almost always, but Prabhupada said it, so I'm going to say, just as Prabhupada said. So, I had a train of thought here. What was I talking about? Krishna and Balaram is the guru. By serving the guru, then we solve all of our problems. We get everything. And Prabhupada says, actually, everything you need materially is provided. Everything's provided perfectly, instantaneously. And if we just think about this a little bit, I mean, this is external energy, right? This is earth, water, fire, air. So is this, you know. What's it going to do for us? We're something completely separate from us. To spend our energy just trying to manipulate this material dimension around to try to enjoy it. If we just think about it by reading the books, we see that that is insanity. And just because everybody else is doing it, including our parents and the teachers we used to have are doing it and promoting it like anything, doesn't make it sanity. It is truly insanity. By understanding this, we understand that real happiness is had by pleasing Krishna, by pleasing Guru. So this is how we destroy this demon, Dainuka. Not independently.
Not independently, we can't do it.
And you have to be smart like these coward boys and go, oh, Balaram, can you please kill this demon, Dainuka? And how do we do that? By serving Guru. That statement is the same as, how may I serve you, Guru? That's how you destroy it. And that's the only way you can destroy it. It can't be destroyed otherwise. So, and we should remember, as we do this, Krishna reciprocates. We experience the nectar. We have to drink a lot of, it's bitter medicine, maybe at the beginning, but it becomes sweet. And just intelligently applying ourselves, we see that these pastimes of Krishna, this is the topmost thing. Why is Bhishma Dev, one of the Mahajans in Bed of Arrows, he's talking about, I believe it's there, he's explaining how this is the topmost thing, to meditate on Krishna's pastimes. Queen Kunti, the same thing, meditating on Krishna's pastimes. And we see the Sanat Kumara instructing a Shakti Vesha avatar, Prithu Maharaj, the king, great king, Shakti Vesha avatar, that meditating, that this is what we should be doing. This is the topmost thing, meditating on Krishna's pastimes. Prabhupada said, nothing gives the soul more ecstasy than the hearing of Krishna's pastimes. Nothing. This is the topmost thing. So, you know, we hear and we chant under the guidance of spiritual master. These pastimes are revealed, and there's no greater high you can have. Even just, you can, if they're not even being so revealed, you can just read about it. But I have learned that the more focused we are on just pleasing Guru, which means go out on Sankirtan on some level, then the more we just do that, it really pleases Guru like anything. Book distribution is the most wonderful opportunity for us.
Prabhupada described it as the most important activity so many times.
If you really want to please me, just to read my books. We have a great opportunity of making rapid spiritual advancement just by taking advantage of this book distribution. And if Guru is instructing it, then we should go all out. We should just, we got something lodged in our head that says, I'm going to go enjoy in this material world by doing A, B, and C.
And you'll never actually enjoy doing that A, B, and C. We should have enough understanding that that's not, according to Guru Shastra and Sada, will bring us real fulfillment in life. Only Krishna Prema will totally satiate the soul. Only Krishna Prema. So we should take the quickest course to Krishna Prema. No matter what austerities and what troubles we have to take, that's intelligence. And by serving Guru, he'll give you that path. And if it includes going out, distributing books, we should take advantage of that opportunity and not, you know, think that I have Guru doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not Balaram. He's not Inanda. He's an ordinary person. If you think he's an ordinary person, we'll never be delivered. In some places it's described the 10 offenses. What is it? The second one? Disobey the orders of the spiritual master. And third. And it says, or consider him an ordinary person. So if we don't want to apply the Shastra, Guru Shastra and Sadhu says that Krishna appears as the spiritual master. It's non-different from Nityananda. We don't apply that. We think we have a better way. You know, good luck. I just don't see it happening. Because we're taking shelter of not Krishna. And Krishna's name is non-different from him. Even though you can take, you want to just chant Hare Krishna and avoid Guru, it just won't work. The scriptures say, Eva Vabigachet, one must have a spiritual master. This is how we have spiritual life. We surrender to Krishna through his representative. So, and by doing this, we tap in immediately. Not like, you know, George Harrison's song, no offense to George, he was incredibly awesome, but that's going to take a long, long time. What was that? I really want to love you, but it's going to take such a long, long time. No! If you read the books, I go, what? What's this? If you read the books and apply it properly, it's immediate. It's immediate to the degree that you apply it. It's more like Suzuki, a famous Zen Buddhist. He has a book called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. And he's encouraging people to apply beginner's mind, to gain beginner's mind. It's like the new person is just like, wow! You know, totally blown away. He's got like, took a huge step to Krishna. And Krishna's reciprocating. He's just going, wow! And then after a few months, he's going, look, that guy I used to think was so awesome. Look, he's this and that. He starts making aparads, starts getting too familiar. And then he loses his beginner's mind. He doesn't have the same taste. But the guru is always eager to hear and chant of the unlimited conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna, right? Shiradika Madhava Yodapara Madhurya Lila Gunarupa Nam Nam. Always eager. That's beginner's mind. So we want to go from beginner's mind, guru end result, beginner's mind, everywhere, anywhere in between. We have to be careful. We have to cultivate this beginner's mind. We should not forget that. Think that I'm such a big devotee now, I don't need to do this or that, or I'm just even that thought in itself. How much mercy are we going to get thinking I'm such a good big devotee? Oh, you little one, let me show you where it's at. How much mercy are we going to get? Right? You have to take people on Sankirtan sometimes. Have to, whether they ask me to or I'm supposed to, train them up on books a little bit, show what I've learned from the great souls. And I have this thought, and no books go out. So, how much mercy am I going to get with this thinking? But if we think, like the ones with the beginner's mind, they think they are the lowest of the low. They have no qualification. Our qualification is thinking that we have no qualification. Then we're qualified. I can't do this activity. I'm completely inept to distribute these books, to perform the arti, to chant Hare. I have no musical talent. I have no ability whatsoever. This is a beginner's mind. Krishna, help. Krishna, at every moment, Krishna, help. I need your mercy. I'm 100% dependent on you to do this service that you've asked me to do, that Guru's asked me to do. That's a beginner's mind. And in this way, Krishna will reciprocate fully. And from this full reciprocation,
we will not have the thought of like the non-beginner's mind stuff. Thinking that there's something more important out there than my self-realization. And that's the greatest obstacle. So think there's something greater than self-realization. Sanat Kumara is describing this to the King Prithu as well. There's no greater impediment to your spiritual progress than thinking that something is more important than self-realization. I better stop there. Any comments or questions? Yeah. He may be bringing a mic.
The cowherd was asking the request. He said, if it pleases your lordships.
Good point.
You know, they asked not for us, but if you want to do it, do it.
Yeah. I appreciate you bringing up this comment. I swear you must be tuned into Super Soul, because I was planning on to talk about that. And here is an important point. Like in the LA, they say, Krishna, every morning, Krishna, please send us more Sankirtan devotees so we can distribute more and more Srila Prabhupada's books in America. If you so desire, that's how we should pray. If you so desire, Krishna. But if you don't desire, then totally forget my request. Same with our approach to Guru. Guruji, I want this. Guru has a nice idea and plan. He wants you to do this and that. And you know, it's like, and then you go, no, I want to do this, Guru. But, you know, you're my pet dog, and come on, bark now. Those words that I want to hear. This is an offense, you know. You're seeing him as an ordinary person. This is representative of Nityananda by serving him. Serving. How may I serve you? It's okay to say, you know, I'm really inclined to do A, B, and C. But, you know, only if it fits within your plan of what you want from me, you know. Only if it's something that you want, like the Coward Boy's exact words are. They should do so only if the Lords themselves found this concept appealing. Like, sometimes, I remember I went to Mars, we were trying to, you know, bring some more men to RVC, and people to RVC. And I thought of something. And he says, yes, that's a good idea. Go for it. And it turned out nice. So it's not like we don't have, Krishna can't inspire in our hearts these ideas. But it was only like, if I was presented like, this is what we should do, Maharaj. You know, this is what, we got to do this. Forget what you think about things. You know, it wasn't. It was, if you so desire, Maharaj. This is just a thought. If you think it appealing, we can apply it. We can do it. It's like that. So that's a really important point. And because if the guru is thinking, oh no, I really want to tell him this, but I can't because of his, you know, stuck somewhere, then, you know, then he's not going to be able to, you're not going to get the full mercy of the Lord. He wants to give you the full mercy, but we have stuck somewhere, so he has to go. If I tell him that, might run away or get inimical and make opera rods and feel disheartened or whatever. Okay, well, I gotta like give him this so it'll make some progress at least. You know, it's not nearly as much mercy as, how may I serve you, Guru? Do this. Okay, thank you for the service, Master. And you go, he's gonna get the full mercy if he just applies it. Right? Ignorance at bay. Thank you. Did you have a question with that or anything? Did I interrupt you?
No, not me. Here, he's got a question.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class and thank you for
tolerating me.
Blessing us with your presence in Chicago once again.
I can barely hear you, I'm sorry.
Thank you for your wonderful class, and thank you for blessing us with your presence in Chicago once again for many times. So, you were mentioning one verse. I learned it from Govinda Prabhu. You were meant, because we went to a program like 4 years ago, and apparently I was the only Mridanga player available. And you mentioned one verse that I actually learned from that day. You were mentioning that if we commit offenses and chant Hare Krishna for many, you know, verse, we won't get the prima don. Bahu jamakari adi shravanam kirtan tabutanam paya krishna padi prima don. And that's from Adi Lila chapter 8 verse 16. And Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, once he says, once you strictly follow Trinada Bisuni Chena Tador Ivasahi Shinuna. So one analogy, one point that I always bring up many times to keep in mind, and it's something that Maharaj brought up yesterday, is that the demons within our hearts, Bhakti Vinod Thakur says the demons in Vrindavan are compared to the inertas within our hearts. And we see that when the demons cause havoc for all of human society. And so we see that when criminals escape from prison, they also cause havoc for human society. So when our inertas escape from us through our words and our actions, they cause problems for us and potentially for others. And we see that the government subdues criminals with security guards. And we're supposed to subdue our inertas with the good qualities, yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana. We subdue pride with humility, envy with appreciation, and attitude with gratitude. But however, there's one pastime maybe you could explain that I really appreciate to keep in mind, is that it may be easy to subdue our words, that's easy, but to subdue our mind, and there's many pastimes like that, like Gadadhar, he couldn't subdue his mind. He criticized Pundri Vidyanidhi for being a Deka Nur Sura demon. You're just, you know, materialistic, you have all this greed. But then he repented. But my really question is regarding one of my favorite, actually my favorite all-time pastime that's mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's also mentioned in the Christian Book of Course, but it's elaborated on in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Ancha Khand, chapter 9, it's at the end of the chapter, the pastime where Bhrigu Muni offends or apparently offends his superiors, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. Bhrigu Muni, he ignores Brahma, he insults Shiva, and then he physically attacks Vishnu. Now, the interesting thing I really appreciate about that pastime is that it says the Lord Bhrigu Muni, he wasn't an operati. The Lord actually entered his body and caused him to commit operas. And it says that one who considers Bhrigu Muni an operati, that person is considered an operati. So from this pastime, I learned that if we criticize the criticizers, that also makes us a criticizers, not knowing that they've been authorized to criticize and we haven't. So in our devotional life, we may come across people who apparently seem to be operatis or criticize others, but then we can't subdue our mind. That's hard. Oh, they're an operati, I've read from the scriptures. So how can we avoid those obstacles and committing these offenses? Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Wow. Yeah, I was just, as you were describing that latter part, I thought of, like, when I was on Sankirtan, you go to these music festivals, people like, on a leg of an animal and smoking and all kinds of things, with practically no clothes on all at the same time. So, but I've had these experiences, and I'm not saying this is the answer to your question, but I'm just sharing something that came to my mind. I've had these experiences where it's kind of like, it's not even possible for someone to say these particular words or to have this mentality without being like, it felt like, maybe I'm wrong, but empowered by Krishna to do it. Not that the Krishna's forcing them to sin or anything, but it just seemed like so many times it'd be so outrageous to where it didn't like offend me, but I just saw it as like, here, you want to be my devotee, Parameshwar Das? Okay. Well, here I'm going to provide an environment for you so that you can really make some serious progress in becoming a totally purified, pure devotee. So now I'm going to give you the opportunity to develop tolerance and to become like amazing, you know, that kind of thing. You know, so he's given us an opportunity. That's definitely a meditation that I have, because things get so, it's like so obviously, like nobody could even, no individual could manufacture some of this stuff in my mind. Like sometimes what they say, it's like, how is this possible? I mean, you have to be a credible poet to have those kind of words come out of your mouth, and that kind of thing. So I'm thinking this must be Krishna's arrangement for me to, if we're fully surrendered, then it's described Krishna takes full control of our life. It's not material modes of nature anymore. You're dealing with just Krishna. And Krishna's arrangement, I remember Kandambakarna Maharaj giving a talk of regarding this a little bit, and he was saying that if we're doing all the right things, so you get it just right, basically he's pointing out that if it's something that we can't really control, it's out of our range of control, then we should just see it as Krishna's mercy for us to develop all these nice Vaishnava qualities like tolerance and so forth and compassion. It's like a test from Krishna as an opportunity, and appreciate the opportunity. And when we do that, the mind doesn't shift into like, what we're really saying is, Krishna, I don't appreciate this gift that you're giving me of this quote-unquote operati here. I don't appreciate this opportunity, this incredible opportunity for me to develop Vaishnava qualities. I don't appreciate it. And then our spiritual, as we all know, you do that on book distribution, books don't really go out very well after that. So I appreciate you bringing this up. So if we just see it as a gift from Krishna, if we're surrendered, it's a gift from Krishna. If we're not surrendered, it's a mode of nature. You know, it's something different. But we should be fully surrendered, and then see it all as this is Krishna, a gift from Krishna. So many times, don't mean to scare anybody. I haven't had this thought with Bhakti Kyle. He's the only one traveling with me now. But I've had these thoughts where I'm thinking, I'm going to go now and drive to the Greyhound bus station and drop this Bhakta off right now. That close. Maybe 10 times in my life. That close. And then somehow, by Krishna's mercy, some intelligence comes to me and I go, oh, wait a minute, let me just give this Savas Prabhu, gave the greatest managerial tip. He said, when you feel like writing that email, you know, just wait, or talk to somebody like that, just wait, what he said, 48 hours, something like that, 2 days-ish, day and a half, whatever. And then it says, so I apply it, and I'm like, 2 days later, I'm going, oh my God, what the heck was I thinking? This person's just fine. He's got no problems. I'm just way off. You know, like that. I mean, I really have that understanding. And I go, oh my God, I almost committed a mega operat. So, you know, check it and go, well, let's give this, let's shelve this. You know, let's, at the worst, we should just put it on the shelf and not act on it. And then in time, things will get more revealed. Because the greatest souls are going on the lowest of the low. And like Lord Shiva is seeing great qualities in people that have no good qualities. And so this is the goal. So knowing the goal and trying to apply it. But if we're surrendered, know that this nothing can happen. Nothing, every movement, everything that I see from this point on, from fully surrendered, is not Krishna's hand in it. And that's actually why the cowherd boys are so nicely, you know, they don't have fear. You know, they're like, oh, Krishna, this is all coming from Krishna. This is, you know, we're surrendered, Krishna's going to arrange it. It's just dealing with Krishna. Krishna wants to chop my legs off today. It's Krishna's mercy. It was perfect for me. It's what I needed. Not that the quote-unquote operatis were bad and I have to chastise them in my mind till the end of eternity. No, it's Krishna's arrangement. Is that okay? Anybody have any other thoughts? Questions? Maybe somebody else has something to share. I mean, Prahlad's just sitting there. He never felt like he was offended. We don't get offended. The soul doesn't get offended. There's another thought. I mean, the soul's not being offended. It's just our material consciousness that the body, that I am this body, and you're now obstructing my heavenly pleasure now, so therefore that's bad. This is not how devotees should think. This is simply, I am spirit soul. I am fully surrendered. This is the only thing you can move, speak, everything comes from Krishna. And so I appreciate, and then we adjust accordingly. Doesn't mean we can't correct people if it's within our range of influence. That might be what Krishna wants us to do. Here's your opportunity to practice your managerial skills, you know. But, you know, you don't do it out of anger because you've offended me. It's because I want this person to make nice progress in Krishna consciousness. Out of love, we correct. It's not like because I'm angry at you because you offended me. That's not a devotee thinking. Yes.
Just on this topic, someone like insults you, someone very much criticizes you. In other words, we have a self-concept. If someone's insulting me, it's basically based on who I think I am, to what degree I'm purified. And so we may get very offended because this is who I am, but actually it's not. So Prabhupada says that a liberated person, a self-realized soul, he doesn't take seriously any criticism to the body because he knows he's not the body. But on a more subtle level, we have like our conditioned nature. So someone just like rips into our condition. It feels like us. It feels like I feel like I'm being attacked. But it's actually, it's not really us, but that identification is very strong, so it's painful. So how does one go beyond that? You know, how can you tolerate that?
Well, we should think that, how is it possible, like you said, for me to be offended? Like if somebody were to come in here and say, you know, you look just like, some sort of creature that, it's like so outrageous, doesn't look at all like you. You wouldn't even be, if some crazy guy walks by and goes, you know, you're, stop barking like a dog. What are you, dog, just barking like a dog? You're not even saying anything. You probably wouldn't even be offended at all. This guy's crazy. But if somebody were to say something that's partly true, or is true, you'd flare up, right? So here's Krishna's great opportunity. For example, I don't mean to brag or anything, but I was out on books the whole weekend. I was really trying to be sensitive and not offend these people. My first festival there and all. And I was doing really good. And at one point, though, I kind of shifted a little. I don't know why, but I just, it was certainly totally cool, but it had a tinge there. And the people in the back started making comments. And I realized they were right. Why am I getting upset? They're right. They're actually right. And they're right. I messed up there. I remember feeling bad about that one thing. It wasn't bad. It was just, he gave me $5. He was holding three big books. I said, do you mind if you just take one? But I didn't do it with the sensitivity that's needed. And they all picked up on it and commented. And so there was some truth to it. And actually, I took it because they were right. I knew it was right. But, you know, I've had those experiences in the past where I got upset. No, I'm justified, you know, like bolstering like that. So if it's affecting us, we should know there's some truth to it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be upset. Some crazy guy says, what are you wearing blue for? What are you, you think you're Krishna wearing blue? I mean, you'd be like, okay, you know, you just keep chanting. You wouldn't be upset at all. Right? So, you know, it's in truth. So we should have the thought rather than the knee-jerk reaction. I'm getting upset, so there's some truth here. This is for my purification. And Krishna really wants us purified. So he gives heavy doses of that. That's my experience. We just have to be like, man, this is just what I need to hear. This is just perfect. This is Krishna's gift. We have to be like that. And not react. And if you feel like reacting, go for a walk. chant Hare Krishna, remove yourself from the situation. Prahlad Narsingha and I traveled together. We had a rule every now and then. Things would get a little too much. And we had a thing that if you go like this, which means time out, you can't talk to each other for 4 hours. And you can pull that out anytime. And it was a good technique to get along better in the van. Just, you know, I mean, anyways, you might not need to do that with your people that you're with, but, you know, Prahlad and I, we needed that. So just go. And then, you go, and then that 4 hours later, you're like, hey, I'm sorry, man, I think I said the wrong thing. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry, too. You know, like that. So, is that okay? At least that's somewhat helpful. But what I learned on Sankirtan, also about the aparads, is if you're constantly flattering people, then you don't think negatively. You actually get a high. It's like when I used to not dance at all during kirtan. I was German upbringing, morose. I mean, not that all Germans like that, but at least I was a little bit morose. Morose is where it's at. Miserable. Yes. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And, you know, temple president would dance around me, try to get me to dance. Hare Krishna, Krishna, get near me, Hare Krishna. And, you know, after a while, it got kind of boring, and he said, you know, if you dance, you actually like dancing. It'll catch. So I was like, you know, this miserableness doesn't serve me so well. So, all right, let me try it. He taught me the Swami step, you know. And the second I did it, I got like this pleasure, like anything, the Krishna part. I got this amazing happiness. And ever since then, I've been loving dancing, like immediate. So if we just perform the action, you know, even though Dhanavir Maharaj has explained this, you know, I was praising him because I've never heard him criticize. And I was saying how, you know, Uttama Adhikaris never criticize. You know, they're totally purified. And he explained at that point, I don't want to put him down, of course, but he explained that even though we might not be at this level, but we act on this level, then we make progress to that level. So, if we're not totally purified, but we act in a way, proper way, to get to that totally purified state, that pleases Krishna like anything. That's where it's at. That's love also, in a sense, right? Because you want to get to Krishna prema, you act appropriately. We have to do this. We have to do this. Otherwise, how are we going to get there? And you find the reciprocation immediate and wonderful. Even though I'm out on Sankirtan, do I think I'm the lowest of the low with all these people? I know I should. So I apply it and I get the result. And I don't always apply it perfectly, but I try. As long as I'm trying, that one time I didn't try, and I got the result. People complain, no, you're not applying it properly. Okay, you're right. Sorry. Is that okay? You have to apply it. Must. And you'll see, and this is, I'm sorry, y'all want to honor Prashadam, but real quick, I didn't have so much faith in this at one point, but then I started to apply it. You know, because Maharaj Dhanavir Goswami was asking me to apply some of these things, and I started to apply it, and I'm shocked at the results, actually, how wonderful they are. I'm really shocked. I thought, wow, after a while of doing this, I thought, my God, I really can have friends in Krishna consciousness. You know, relationships are actually getting pretty good, you know, and all this, you see the result. It's really wonderful. So, you know, it really, really works. And that gives you faith in doing it more and surrendering more and so forth and so on. So, all right. Any last comments or questions? Sorry for talking so much. All right. Everybody can honor Prashad if they want, but go ahead. Of course you can honor Prashad. I'm not the person that's... But, you know, saying you can feel free to go if you want. Okay, go ahead.
You were talking about... maintaining the beginner's mind and I was just wondering how we reobtain that beginner's mind and how we maintain it.
How do we obtain it and how do we maintain it? There's a story of a guru who calls his disciple, he's swimming in the Ganges, and he calls his disciple to come to the Ganges with him. And the disciple is going, wow, this disciple is kind of a little slacking. And the disciples think, wow, guru wants to play with me in the Ganges, this will be great. Oh, we have so much fun. He says, wow. So he goes out there, and the guru just grabs him by the sika, puts him underneath the water. He's like, wow, guru's playing with me, this is so much fun. And, you lift me up out of the water, aren't you? You're going to lift me out of the water, right? And he starts fighting for his life, you know, for his life, for air. And bubbles are coming up. Finally, his guru lifts him up. And he goes, and he's like, flipping out. I'm going to kill me. And he goes, what did you think about it that one moment before you took your breath? What did you think about? And he goes, air. Did you think of anything other than air? And he goes, no. That's how you must chant Hare Krishna always. Left. That's the process. He didn't have another thought for air. Now we don't want to have any other thought other than Krishna. We must chant this way. Always. Not like somewhere in the, oh, this is too difficult. It's not too difficult. There's a poem called Priti, which means love, Krishna Prema. And the poem is so beautifully written, it describes how we condense our bhajan to make it Krishna Prema, Priti, pure love. We condense it. So in between the Hari and the Krishna, what do we got? Hare, Krishna, you know, so condense it, you know, to where it's only Hare and Krishna. So we really have to be in that mood. You know, one new person, he just joined his first day out of nowhere, and he's sitting there right in front of him, giving the class, and he's right there, his first day, and he just brings up the point. He says, you know, perfect. Who is this guy? And he goes, actually, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. And he's right. This must be Krishna talking to me. This is perfect. We have to, every moment, why aren't we chanting perfectly now? Thinking one day in the future I'll chant perfectly. No, now. Fully now. The name is none different from Krishna. You want anything other than everything? You want some of that which does not exist? This is crazy. That's how crazy. If we don't live in that beginner's mind state at every moment, we're basically saying, I want something other than everything. I want that which is not. That's insanity. It's not like it's not possible to obtain. It is at every moment. Prabhupada says it. You can be fully Krishna conscious in a moment. So this is how we need to apply it. And when you think, how will I maintain, have enough energy to chant this attentively? If you have that thought for a second, how will I be able to do 16 rounds like this? How will my voice structure and so forth hold up? If you have this thought, it's inattentive chanting. You're in the time, you're thinking time, which is a material construct. It's nothing to do with reality. The real reality. So it's inattentive thinking. So you actually, by having this understanding, you checkmate yourself into living in beginner's mind all the time. Does that make sense? Yeah. And you could have other thoughts, like, I don't know, whatever. And just wait, that's inattentive chanting. Back to the mantra. And you're thinking, well, I have to do this and that. Wait, I don't have full faith in the holy name? That holy name won't give me everything that I want at every moment? What? Does that make sense? That's also insanity. It's an intent of chanting. It's just an excuse. Just enviness in the heart. Oh, and what I was going to get back to is Prabhupada's guru says, which I forgot to mention, that the way to this Krishna prema is you must have sankirtan unbroken, unceasing sankirtan. In other words, it's not, I do my sankirtan and then I, no, always sankirtan. Forevermore. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, once you have this forevermore, once you're determined to do it forevermore, no matter what, you make rapid progress. Oh my, it's where it's at. But if you're thinking, one day I'll do this for some time, or one day, or whatever, all these thoughts, it's described that Krishna won't actually directly deal with you. He won't like give you the inspiration and everything from the heart, the guidance from within. But if you do, then Krishna reciprocates with you. Why not have the most fun? And just knowing that, why not have max out the fun? Just max it out. Even though you have so many stuff, you know intellectually this is the right way to go. Just do it, and like it just with the dance, immediately you'll get it. Immediately, you get the reciprocation. Immediate. And then, well, this is incredible. I just want to stay with this. That's why it says only an animal will give up the chanting of Hare Krishna. Not Maha, killer of the self, or an animal killer, will give up the chanting of Hare Krishna. I probably should stop there. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari Bol. Thank you for tolerating me, everybody. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for being here. So many wonderful people. Everybody's wonderful here. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Inspiring me. See, like right there, I could have just not said the thanks for tolerating me thing, but I do that for my own consciousness.